David Martin. He is known as DC Dave, and his website is dcdave.com. And anyway, we were talking about the Muslim Brotherhood and the fact that I just posed a question in the chat room and somebody just responded with a funny comment. She had closed-door meetings with the Muslim Brotherhood. So everything is kind of coming together. I mean, it's just, oh, gosh, I cannot believe. It just astounds me to no end that anybody would vote for this woman, that they would think that somehow because she's a woman that somehow she needs to be president. And with this email scandal that she was involved in, I just can't believe anybody would vote for her.
It's really amazing. I mean, also the scariest part of it is I think her corruption is really 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 bad, but her views on foreign policy seem to be indistinguishable from the very worst of the neocons. So we might as well have Victoria Nuland as our first woman president.
Right.
Have Hillary Clinton. Maybe she at least has decent health. But if it's just a woman you want, you know, why not Robert Kagan's wife?
Sure.
Victoria Nuland.
Exactly. And note the way that she went from being, I don't even like to call her the first lady. She's no lady as far as I'm concerned. But she was the wife of the installed president. How does she go from that position to being a senator to being a presidential candidate?
I think her being elected senator in New York is exhibit A of the you can rig elections.
Sure.
Because the woman has never been popular. People don't like her for good reason.
Exactly.
even the Washington Post said, "Oh, well, she has this likability problem, and she's not a natural politician. She really doesn't like getting out and meeting people because she hates people. And they can tell."
Sure.
She was despised in Arkansas. Why couldn't she wait to get out of Arkansas? Why didn't she go back to Arkansas if she's so popular there? No, it goes to New York.
Right.
And right. Claimed she'd been a Yankee fan. That's another one of her. You know how the people in Chicago love New York. There's another one of her whoppers when she was running. She'd always been a Yankee fan. Yeah, just like people in Boston are Yankee fans.
Sure. Yeah, it's just amazing how they decide, okay, we're going to go up there, we're going to establish residency, and it's just like the meteoric rise of Obama. I mean, he was in the Illinois Senate, and then all of a sudden, he's a candidate for president? I mean, my gosh, it's just...
Came out of nowhere to be the keynote speaker at the Democratic Convention, just like they made Bill Clinton, governor of miserable little state of Arkansas, the keynote speaker, and he blew it, you know. They were catcalling to get him to shut up because he ran on and on. And he even blowing that opportunity that had been given to him, they still had anointed him for higher things. But Obama didn't blow it. He gave a passable speech. You know, they claimed it's so great, which it really wasn't. You know, he's not the great orator that they claim he is.
No, but they keep saying, oh, what a great orator he is. And then people say, oh, yeah, he's really great. Because they accept this consensus opinion that somebody else has. I mean, it's just amazing.
No, they if they say it enough, you're supposed to believe it, I guess.
Right.
And but he's obviously a manufactured candidate from our just like the Clintons. If this couple is what they the best they can give us,
we really get somebody out of the phone book for Pete's sake.
I know. Well, I like this opium or the heroin epidemic, the cheap heroin where it's coming from. I like to talk about things that people don't talk about. And all this Hillary email stuff, the question is never raised, why? Why did she use this private server?
Yeah, why?
Why? I've been a federal government employee, and the easiest, it's not to make it easier for you. I mean, when you're using, I worked the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and we had this annoying little message that came up. You have, using the government computer, you know, you have no right to privacy. Yeah, well, that could explain why she didn't want to use the government computer.
Right.
Because she had a lot of things to hide. Of course that's why. That's why she did, because it would be subject to a FOIA request. It would be subject to anything that she did on the government computer. It could be subpoenaed by the Congress. So, and you see what happened, you know. She called me, even admitted that these emails that they didn't turn over, a lot of it was government business. That they never turned over, and that's the ones that, in humorously, Trump is saying, you know, why don't the Russians tell us what's on it? Those deleted emails.
Sure. Now, Comey, was there, according to a caller that called into the program when another guest and I were talking about Hillary, caller called in and said, well, Comey was the guy that laundered the money for the Clintons when they were doing the MENA airport importation of drugs. So
yeah.
they had a very long time relationship, and was obviously the perfect person to be in position to exonerate her.
Yeah, and that's what that tarmac meeting was all about with Loretta Lynch. I think it's just so they get her out of the loop. So we'll turn it over to Comey. And Comey, I even written a poem about that called Bill and Loretta's Tarmac Tango. That meeting in Phoenix was stagecraft. Now the whole world should know it was done for shunting out Lynch so Comey could hog the show. They pitch him as Mr. Bipartisan. And we know what all of them are. They're cut from the same dirty pattern as the miscreants Fisk and Starr. That's what that was about.
Sure. Oh, yeah, Starr. He was the guy that was that exonerated Bill, actually, right?
Yeah,
the
Kenneth
went after
Starr
him.
And Robert Fisk, you know.
Right.
That, yeah. Of course, Kenneth Starr was George Bush's Solicitor General, and, you know, this was George the First Bush. And George Bush and Bill Clinton are, you know, partners in crime.
Right.
The drug smuggling. And since then, they've, you know, George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton have been all buddy-buddy over the Clinton Foundation work.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, they're sort of out of the closet that way, kind of like the so-called leader of the vast right-wing conspiracy, Chris Ruddy. He's out of the closet, too. He's all buddy-buddy with the Clintons now.
Wow. Wow.
He was fake opposition all along, and I've had him in my very house here, I'm ashamed to say.
Oh, gosh. You better be careful who you run around with, Dave.
Yeah, I got to fumigate this place.
Yeah. Really. Now, somebody in the chat room said that Comey was on the board of Walmart. And
oh, really? I didn't know that.
See, yeah.
I knew it was on the board of one of the New York banks, I forget which, that's where that money laundering comes in, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can look it up with Google. Yeah, I've heard the same thing about his money laundering connections.
Yeah. Wow.
But, why on earth would she use this? It wasn't that she was careless. You know, he said, oh, she's just careless. No, she's very careful to keep it away from the public.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another point for misdiagnosis. Hillary Clinton careless? I say au contraire.
Yeah.
In protecting her criminal secret, she's shown the greatest of care.
Right.
She's very careful. Very careful. You know, not careful enough, but she's careless in respect of showing this Clinton privilege, figuring she can get away with it because she's always has got it.
Exactly, she always does.
That's the only to the extent she was careless, it was only because she has been able to get away with things that none of us could get away with in the past, and she has got away with it. So I guess she was in her own rights to be careless. She could afford to be careless in ways you and I could not afford to be careless. But no, she's. It wasn't just out of neglect. You know, if you're careless, you let the IT people take care of everything for you. And like I did when I worked for the federal government, you know, it's much easier and simpler. She had several different servers. She had to pay these people money to do it. Went to a heck of a lot of trouble. It wasn't the easy way out to use a private server. It was very much the hard way out. If it's totally innocent, which, of course, obviously it was not.
Right.
She must
have known that she was going to be caught.
You would think. This is the most amazing thing. I mean, she's given credit for being so smart, but it looks awfully stupid, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. So there must have been, you know, some people act, it's like George Bush. He always played the stupid card. Said, you know, oh, gosh, you know, I'm just a country boy. He wasn't. He was from Connecticut. He went to Yale. But he always played stupid so that people just assumed, oh, this guy, he just doesn't have the brains. And so sometimes politicians do that. Other people do that. They play ignorant or stupid so that people will not realize or recognize that they're really just playing a game and really taking advantage, exploiting the situation. And she must have known that she was going to be caught, but the price was worth doing what she did.
Well, that's it. The price must have been worth it. It must have been worth it.
Yes.
And she figured, well, she just brazened it through, which she's so far successfully done, amazingly so. But I think anybody you know who's a Hillary supporter, the first question to ask them is this simple question, why did she use this? What would they say? Do you know anybody that you could ask that question to? Why did she use this this private email server instead
exactly.
of using the government one? What would they say? Do you know? Do you have anybody
that? We'll ask the callers. If any of the listeners would like to ask that question in the third hour, that would be a good, or if they know somebody that they have asked, that would be something to address in the third hour.
Yeah, now she has given, what's the explanation she has given that she wanted to do her, it was better for her yoga classes and all of this, whatever,
yeah,
for her private stuff.
Obviously, the woman doesn't take yoga. She's really gotten husky. You know, she's not in good health. That's another thing that we certainly need to address.
That may save us all. That may end up saving us all. Looks like her health problem is very serious.
What is her health problem? I understand that she may have suffered a stroke, or she may, because somebody had to help her up. Now, when she When
it's speculation that she may have Parkinson's disease.
Well, she had a full-blown physical right before she announced her candidacy, and the only thing that was wrong with her at that point in time was that she was hypothyroid, and her doctor prescribed Armour thyroid for her, which is a natural product to address her thyroid problem. And she said other than that, she was in very, very good health. And usually Parkinson's is a disease that progresses very slowly. You start out by having a few symptoms, and then they increasingly get worse. And I mean, if she's got Parkinson's, whatever's wrong with her happened, I think, quite suddenly.
Yeah. Yeah, and this hyperthyroid problem, this is what George H.W. Bush had, and it affects your behavior.
Well, I think, you know, 75% of the country is hypothyroid because of the lack of iodine in the products we eat, and because of the bromide that is put into bread and clothing and all kinds of things, and our, you know, fluoride in the water. And so, not everybody that is hypothyroid acts the way that Hillary acts, or acts the way that George H.W. Bush acts.
Yeah.
There's something else going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she's definitely...
Maybe she's just playing sick. Somebody in the chat room said... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But she was playing sick so that she could avoid the FOIA request, so that she wouldn't have to respond. So maybe she's playing the sympathy card. Oh, poor me, look at me, I've got to be propped up on pillows, and I'm falling all over myself, and I'm doing other things all over myself. I'm so sick I can't answer. And then maybe she'll make a quick recovery just in time for the elections. What do you think?
Well, I hadn't thought about that. It's all just kind of a smokescreen.
Yeah, because, I mean, people have backed off. You don't hear much about... Well, since Comey made his declaration before Congress that they weren't going to pursue the matter, maybe there were some other people that were going to pursue the matter, independent people, actually, that were really interested and not just covering up for her. And so maybe that's the deal. I mean, I think these people, these players, always have a scheme that they can resort to.
Yeah, well, we've been through this before with Franklin Roosevelt in his third term.
Oh, yes.
People that were close to him all knew that he wouldn't last. He wouldn't last a year. I mean, he looked like death warmed over, and no one has ever well addressed what was wrong with him, causing his decline. I mean, the cause of death was a cerebral hemorrhage, but that's an acute incident.
Right.
What caused him to look to you know?
He may have been incrementally poisoned. I don't know.
Well, that's one of my theories. You know, long-term arsenic poisoning.
Yeah,
has those symptoms.
Yes, absolutely. Now, he did have polio, and that's because he and his children decided to go swimming in a very dirty pond. Now, his children recovered, but he didn't. And so that's why he was in a wheelchair. But, yeah, I've always thought that somebody was poisoning him. Maybe his wife was tired of his philandering.
He was surprisingly anti-Zionist. You know,
but he was a communist.
He had Jewish handlers all around him, but he was not pro-Zionist.
No, but he was a communist. There's a left side and the right side.
He was a sellout to Joe Stalin.
Yeah,
no
okay.
doubt. I've got quite a bit about that on my website.
Okay, we're going to a quick break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dave Martin, also known as DC Dave, and his website is dcdave.com. Somebody in the chat, we have some, our chatters are very, very astute, as I mentioned before, and they're really getting into some very, very interesting comments here. Somebody said, Kennedy Jr.'s plane went down, I believe that was 1999, which was, pretty close to when Hillary decided that she would run for Congress.
Oh, yeah. John Kennedy Jr. was going to run for that Senate seat.
Yes.
Put it on the body count.
Yes. And I understand that Bush had something, George W. Bush also had something to do with that. I mean, there's been all kinds of speculation about it, but
I mean
it's pretty darn convenient. Yeah. The elite were not crazy about that family at all.
That's right. I mean, Robert Kennedy. Yeah, you got a bridge. I can sell you if you think Sirhan was the lone crazed gunman in that incident.
Exactly.
You know. There's a very good chapter in the Tarpley Chaikin book on John Hinckley, too.
Hmm.
You know, the Hinckley family is, of course, friends of the Bush family.
Oh, yes. Yes, they were.
And the big oil man in Texas was Hinckley. And Hinckley's brother was supposed to attend a party the very next day in Colorado with Neil Bush. You know, I mean, and you look at this. You got a son here who's. I think is a general consensus that he did have psychiatric problems. He was a little bit loony. Well, he ends up getting. Of course, he was the father in on this. Would he risk his son's life? Well, maybe. Maybe so, you know, because he was an embarrassment to the family. He was never going to make anything of himself. Long-term psychiatric care was going to be expensive. Well, he got long-term psychiatric care paid for by the state, you know, and eventually he was released.
Wow.
You know, The chapter on John Hinckley in this episode, of course, it would have, had he succeeded, then George H.W. would have been president sooner, and he eventually ended up being. You got to wonder about who was behind Hinckley.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and psychiatric cases like that are most easily suggested through psychiatric drugs and whatever they use, the MK Ultra type stuff, you know, to make people do what they want them to do, like they made Sirhan, who certainly looked mind controlled. And this Dylan Roof and Timothy McVeigh both have the same blank stare, it seems like to me. Have you noticed that? The shooter down in Charleston, the pictures you see him, he just has this blank stare look.
Yes.
And you never saw anything other than that from the pictures of Timothy McVeigh, just sort of a blank stare.
Right. Yes, CIA, MK Ultra, products of MK Ultra.
Yeah. I mean, mind control is real.
Oh, absolutely.
If you've ever had a colonoscopy, which I had, you know, they say you were awake and talking during the whole thing. Well, you could have fooled me.
What were you saying? Ow!
Yeah, I don't know, because it just like 1 minute I'm conscious, and the next minute they're telling me we're done.
Wow.
What? And you say I was talking during all of this? I have no recollection of it. So, I mean, they can do that, but somebody they hardly even prepped with the...
Exactly.
Normal, they can do that with drugs.
Sure. Okay, we have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dave Martin. He is known as DC Dave. His website is dcdave.com. And we were talking about FDR, and that he was, and you made mention of the fact that he was surrounded by communists, and he formalized the Soviet Union. I mean, gosh,
the whole State Department was full of communists. The benefit of the Soviet Union. I mean, their whole strategy could not have been better designed to help them more than us.
Exactly.
But I've addressed. I have on my website an essay called "Was Franklin Roosevelt a Communist?" When I go into all of these questions. And one can make a case against it. Quoting myself here, is less trivial defense than one might think, but one might say that Roosevelt wasn't learned or smart enough to be devoted to any particular ideology, whether it be communism or anything else. He was nobody's intellectual. I have a link on that. He was hardly known to have read a serious book of nonfiction about anything unless it had a nautical theme. And the American communism of the Red Decade was largely the disease of the intellectuals. Roosevelt was not an ideas person. He was a people person, much more strongly influenced by the exigencies of the moment or by whatever strong personality was able to get close to him and bend his ear, than by any sort of ideological inclination or independent thought or study. Well, anyway, the biggest counterexample is his friendship and his hiring for very important work of Patrick Hurley, who was a strong anti-communist, anti-Zionist, and a Republican at that. And yet he made him his special envoy to the Middle East, and then later he sent him to China, where he reversed a lot of the policies of Vinegar Joe Stilwell, and made him ambassador to China for Chiang Kai-shek. And eventually he failed. He was undercut by the career State Department people in China. But had Hurley got his way in China, China may not have gone communist. But, you know, so Roosevelt, I mean, you just got to explain somewhat. What did he see in Hurley if he's just himself was a pure communist?
Of course, a lot of the presidents do have handlers. I mean, if you go back to, you know, like Woodrow Wilson, I mean, he certainly had a handler, Colonel House. I mean, a lot of them do have handlers telling them what to do, that actually live at the White House.
Yeah, well, in his case, the Harry Hopkins was like
right.
the third president. And
right.
Hopkins, the only question with Hopkins, was he a paid spy for Stalin, or was he just a fellow traveler? But he might as well have been a paid spy for everything he did.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, and I get into the role of Hopkins in this article and in several other articles about Hopkins. You can search Harry Hopkins on my website and learn a heck of a lot. There's a subject index that has been put together by the guy that runs the Ayn Rand Institute, Arri Watch. He's critical of them. Anyway, and he uses a pseudonym named Mark Hunter, but he's indexed my articles and it's on the columns page, the index, and one subject is the Red Decade and After, and that's where you see was Franklin Roosevelt the communist. Right before that, Harry Hopkins and FDR's commissars. Why Senator Joe McCarthy had to be destroyed. Ilya Kazan, American hero. You know, so American Victims of Soviet Gulag, a review of The Forsaken by Tim Tsouliadis. A lot of good stuff there that people can learn a lot about the Roosevelt and communism.
Right.
And the New York Times and Joseph Stalin, the worst. I mean, their advocacy for Stalin is enough to you know, they should, that newspaper just doesn't have a right to exist for its history. Certainly not a right to be believed on anything.
Sure.
The latest of which, you know, the New York Times and the New Yorker is telling us that Donald Trump has hired Roger Ailes.
Oh, gosh, I don't know why he would do that. Ailes.
Well, did he? He didn't.
The
campaign has denied it.
Yeah.
Why should we believe the New York Times? They use unnamed sources.
Well, look, if you watch TV at all, and I haven't done that very frequently lately, but or any time, but, I mean, you don't hear anything good about Trump.
That's the best thing you can say for him, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that these stinkers, I've never seen anything like it. I'm comparing it to the Pyongyang Times. You know, it reminds me of the North Korean newspaper. It's the most propagandist I have ever seen. The Washington Post is just frothing at the mouth. Trump must be doing something right to be hated for advancing by these people.
Exactly. Yes. Now, you mentioned Joseph McCarthy. Let's talk about him. And we also need to include the fact that Morgenthau was very much had the ears of FDR.
Yeah.
Certainly in regard to his disposition of Germany following the war. And so,
it's... Morgenthau's father was the big influence on Roosevelt. He was an... Henry Morgenthau the Younger was really woefully unqualified for the job as Secretary of the Treasury. And the power behind the throne there was the communist agent, Harry Dexter White.
Right. He had a lot of people in the administration that were really running things. And, people liked FDR as far as I know.
But this is another thing on Roosevelt's anti-Zionism. You know, the Sulzberger family... The New York Times was, although pro-communist, was anti-Zionist, and so was, and people don't remember that around the Zionism was not all that popular with Jews in this country for the longest time.
Right.
Anyway, Morgenthau the Older was very strongly anti-Zionist. And he was a big influence on Roosevelt, Morgenthau the Younger his policies may have been pro-communist, but it's probably because of the influence of Harry Dexter White on him, who, in spite of this Harry Dexter White's waspy-sounding name, was also quite Jewish himself, were a lot of the pro-communists of that era. In the United States, and a lot of the current neocons are former Trotskyites and former red diaper baby types.
Sure.
They're the intellectual fathers of the neocon movement.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But Morgenthau's father was also a political appointee, and he wrote a book describing the Armenian genocide when he was the U.S. ambassador to the Ottoman Empire. And so they both played similar roles, but in different places. And when you read about the breakup of the Ottoman Empire and what Morgenthau had to do with it, and the fact that Morgenthau was a Felix Frankfurter protege, he was a member of the Pilgrim Society, and it was just... it's generational, just as you see in politics today.
Irving Kristol, William Kristol.
Exactly. Do we have to have, how many Bushes do we have to have in the White House? How many Roosevelts do we have to have? How many Clintons do we have to have? Seriously, are these the only families that are eligible or that are worthy or weren't being elected to the White House? Of course not. What are people thinking? No, they're not. So, well, what about McCarthy? Joseph McCarthy.
Good question. Was he... I have the same sort of feelings about Trump as I had about Joe McCarthy, which is a great ambivalence. They both picked up very good, solid issues, and they're getting the... I even have a poem about that. The Washington Post is giving Trump the same treatment they gave Joe McCarthy.
Yeah,
speaks well of them. They're taking good issues, but are these the proper vessel to be transporting this good message? And I have a friend with whom I've corresponded who's looked into McCarthy a lot and makes a lot of good points about that, suggesting that he was not really genuine, that initially he didn't exhibit this strong anti-communism. There's some question about his sexuality. He's
And why don't we hear anything about Hillary's sexuality?
Yeah, well, certainly blackmailable on that aspect. If in fact he was homosexual, and then he hires Roy Cohn and G. David Shine as a couple of homosexual Jews who really ended up sinking him. Their excesses brought him down as, and he didn't have a bit of a drinking problem. There is some question about what actually caused his death, though. Whether it were really was cirrhosis of the liver. It was at Bethesda Naval Hospital, you know, where he met his end. It's where, you know, they did the autopsy on Kennedy, and where Forrestal met his end. So, but, you know, how genuine was Joe McCarthy? I think that's a legitimate question.
Right.
But the cause, you know, they've created a huge distraction. The fact is the government was laced with communists, and being laced with communists was not a trivial matter. It had a great influence on our policies, which led to the takeover of communism over a large part of the globe. The fact that that's the big distraction that they've, it's all the witch hunters who were pointing this out, make them the issue. You know, that technique has been played out a lot. I got a feeler a couple of weeks ago from somebody from the BBC who wanted to interview me on the Foster case.
Oh, well, yeah, you're probably best known for that case. I mean, you've certainly certainly put out a lot of information about it.
Well, maybe I can find my email on that. It was, you know, they're up to no good, you know, because we've encountered this before. They want to make the issue the critics, not the actual case itself. And that's what they did with Joe McCarthy. You know, they made him the issue rather than the fact of the subversion of our government by actual communists. You know, but they made Joe McCarthy the issue. The big eye opener to me, the revelation of all revelations, and again, it's through one of my online contacts who recommended it. Was the Whitaker Chambers book Witness.
Oh, yes. Was that a wonderful book?
Everybody ought to read that book.
Absolutely.
And yep. What I didn't realize, and this is still, there lies about it to this day, and including by M. Stanton Evans and lots of the right-wingers, that this meeting the defector Chambers from the communists had with Roosevelt's top aide, Adolph Burley, revealing the communist cell right up into, you know, including, the brothers at Alger Hiss and Donald Hiss.
Oh, right, yes.
At the State Department. But also Lachlan Curry at the White House.
Yes, yes, all of those guys.
And Harry Dexter White at the Treasury Department.
Yep.
And all of this. Well, you know, they took notes on it, and he went to the Roosevelt, and Roosevelt blew him off, telling him he could go screw himself.
Wow.
Well, whoa here. And the FBI never did anything about it. And Whitaker Chambers went underground, fearing for his life.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, what? And he doesn't reappear, and well, he eventually gets his job with Time Magazine, but he just keeps a very low profile, and he only testifies before the congressional committee when he's subpoenaed. He didn't volunteer it. He was subpoenaed because Elizabeth Bentley had gone public, another defector from the communists, and he was subpoenaed. And that whole episode was so revealing. But the key thing is not what he said, but what Isaac Don Levine. Now, there's one of your better Jewish people who was born in Belarus, I think.
Right. What's
all
now
right. Belarus?
We're going to a 3-minute break. We'll pick this up on the other side.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All right, welcome back. This is Tiana. And our guest today is Dave Martin, also known as DC Dave. And his website is dcdave.com. Now, I have a chapter in my third book. In my trilogy, it's titled, the chapter is called FDR, A Red in the White House, where I talk about a gentleman by the name of Sidney Hillman, who came over here to the United States after the failed Bolshevik Revolution of 1905. And he just, first of all, he organized a strike, and then he got very, very close to the president. to the point that the president would say regularly to clear everything
with Sydney. Yeah, yeah.
And so, and then you also have to consider that FDR, the connection between FDR and Winston Churchill, who were both in the same position during World War One, as far as the Navy and they had the same exact position. And then fast forward 30 years and you have them in the same position where they kind of orchestrated World War II, and they monitored the Japanese from the time they left Japan till they got to Pearl Harbor. So I think that he did have a lot of communists around him.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, he had the Strau. And think about the New Deal. Think about the New Deal and what he accomplished during that period of time, during all that legislation and the, you know, the confiscation of gold. I mean, my gosh. That was a watershed. The whole time he was in, and then through to the end of World War II, totally changed the United States.
Yeah, yeah. Well, about that 1939 meeting, you know, where he just scoffed at this notion that his government was laced with communist espionage agents. My article to read is called FDR Winked at Soviet Espionage, and I talk about the treatment of, even to this day, by so-called anti-communist writers who have really whitewashed what happened at that meeting. And the book to read, in addition to Witness, is the guy that midwifed the conference, the guy that set it up and was present, is Isaac Don Levine's book, Eyewitness to History.
Ah.
That is absolutely, you can get it easily through a used book service, uh-huh. Eyewitness to History. I mean, unlike Whitaker Chambers, he took notes on the meeting.
Oh.
So, and Chambers' recollection is that he did not finger at the meeting Harry Dexter White, but it's in Levine's notes, and he remembers, he relates the reaction of Burleson. White, he's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, he can't believe it, Harry Dexter White. And so in his testimony later before Congress, Chambers said that he didn't name White. But
wow.
his memory is wrong.
Wow.
Because Levine took notes.
Dave, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back, and we'll take your phone calls. Be right back in 3 minutes.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.